Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's 9:40 on a Tuesday, and our customary segment is with our friends at SailSportTalk.com. Karen Lyle joins us once again to co-host this segment with me. And Karen has some really exciting news on a personal level, and we're very proud of her. That's a little teaser. We'll get to that in a second. But Karen, the Vendée is over for one man, and that is Charlie Danlin. He came in at Le Sable d'Olonne, less than 65 days, a record. But it shows, and there are still many out there racing right now, but it just shows that more than 2 months is the record, and it just shows how grueling and what an accomplishment it is for Charlie Danlin, isn't it?
Yes, and to even finish the race is an accomplishment. So every person that is coming in, when they cross that finish line, it's going to be an amazing feat of solo navigation, circumnavigating the globe in all kinds of tremendously challenging conditions. But Charlie is at the very head of it, and he has taken the first place, which is such a credit to him, and we give him our congratulations.
And I would imagine a national hero now, being French and winning the Vendée coming in to France.
Yes. Well, it's a big deal. I mean, they have probably 3 million people that come through the Sable d'Olonne, they have a village that they set up, and people come and visit, and there's, different types of things that are showing how this is done. The people who are fans of the Vendée Globe have sticker books, and what it looks like, I have one, and I was given one when I went to the media, the press conference back in September last year, and they follow each of the racers and get stickers and put them in the book. And there's 40 people involved in this, and some have, as we know, Pip Hare was not able to finish the race. I want to mention that Samantha Davies, whom I interviewed and who had to drop out of the race last time because of having hit something under the water that damaged her boat, is in 13th place right now. And
wow.
She is a woman and an amazing sailor, and this is no small accomplishment, because all of these sailors who compete in this race, they're not even allowed to compete unless they have the sea time and are thought to be able to make this without dying, right?
No doubt. And I should mention too that Charlie Danlin, he came in beating the record by Armel Lecleche, which was set in 2017. He beat it by almost 10 days. Now, as someone who is more familiar to the open ocean than most of us, Karen, did he get good winds? Did he out-tack everyone? Did he take a different route? Do you know how he was able to cut such a significant amount of time, 10 days?
Well, in a race like this, there are boats of different constructions, and foiling boats were used in this race this time. And so if a boat foils, it can lift up out of the water and reduce the resistance, which makes a difference. Now, when we're following races like the America's Cup or Sail GP, there are box rules that basically box rules for the America's Cup, which basically specify that all the boats are very similar. There may be differences in design, but they're within a constraint. Which keep them more similar. In the Vendée Globe, there are boats that are not similar. And so you'll find that the boats will finish in different times. So there is a accomplishment that happens for who comes in first, but there's also something based upon, what kind of boat they're in and how that is being navigated in the race.
So for you now, as you watch others coming in, like, who is the, I don't want to say straggler, because it's still an amazing accomplishment, but like, how far back are some of the racers still?
Well, if people wanted to track what's happening with this, they can look at the VendeeGlobe.org website. And there is, and what you can see is that there are people actually all along this journey, some that are still, haven't passed Cape Horn yet, some that are, they're they're in all different stages. And as I say, this is not always, you know, the boats are different from each other. So boats have different hull speeds. A hull speed is how fast a boat can go through the water. I don't know what they call a hull speed when you have foils, because the hull is not in the water. It's the foils that are in the water. So, you know, do you remember when we were talking about before Pierre dropped out, I had a little clip from her talking about the experience of foiling and going 35 knots, you know, where it was just full on and taking every moment of her concentration. I don't know that I would choose to foil in a race of this length, because how do you, you know, you can't sleep when the winds are good. You have to stay with it to keep up on the foil. It takes so much attention. I mean, just the stamina that it takes for those who want to win, right?
Well, I'll say this about Shirley Dalin is that, you know, as a student of history, I was trying to think of famous French admirals. And, of course, they were known for their land army, not so much the Navy. And it was the opposite with the Brits. They didn't have much of a land army, but they had, of course, the greatest Navy in the world. Probably the most famous French admiral is Villeneuve, the guy who lost at Trafalgar. So, finally, the French have a successful sailor, Karen.
Well, they've had a successful sailor for quite a while, because it has been the French who dominated the Monte Globe.
All right. Well, let's switch now, because I am so proud of you. You're going to be given the freedom of the city of London, and you'll be made a liveryman in the company of stationers and newspaper makers. This, I mean, tell us more. This is astounding.
Well, you know, I have to give... I guess I'll tell you a little bit what it is, and then I will give my credits where they are due. So the city of London is very unique in the world. There were guilds all over in medieval times, but the city of London actually had something that kind of became both a union and a guild and a monopoly for the different trades. And in the medieval times, as you know, as ever, everybody who knows who has read their, you know, has learned their history, it was a feudal system, and there were those who owned the property, which were the king, basically, and those he granted land rights to, and then there were the peasants or the common people, and there wasn't a middle class. At a certain point, somewhere around 1100, these trades or professions in the city of London were actually given charters to set up companies and to honor and recognize their role as being, and I'll talk about the stationers in particular. They came along in 1400 with their first charter, 1403, I think it was, and it was the Tudor Queen Mary who gave them that charter, and they had the right to publication, and at that time there was no printing press, so publication was done by handwriting on in books that were either on parchment or velour. I'm not sure of the extent of what the paper was used at that time. And they had stations outside of universities and churches, and that they always, people could always go there for either getting a book or having something written official. And a lot of people didn't read and write at that time, so it was usually only those who were in higher offices that had engaged these services. And then when the printing press came along, the printing rights were given to the company, and they actually invented the first copyright. This is before the 1900s, when copyrights were given to authors. It was a copyright for publication. So when the printing press came out, the Gutenberg Press, the King James Bible was actually printed through association with the stationer's company. You had to be a member, and you had to go through initiation to become a freeman, to have the freedom of the city to do trade, to also be a liveryman, which is a, you know, you get to vote on the mayor and so forth. And so all of these traditions were established decades before my ancestors came to to America to establish the New England colonies, which was in 1630. So this is very, very ancient history. And so the Stationers' Company, I guess, discovered me and invited me to come through the ranks of becoming a freeman, which I became in November of last year, of the company, which meant I had the freedom of the company as a broadcaster. And because of this show, Rick. So it's you know, my accomplishments and your accomplishments and the accomplishments of Dominic and Darren and Ron Barr and all the other people behind the scenes who've helped us to create Sailsport Talk, and also the support of all of the sailors and the yacht clubs that basically, you know, was part of my receiving the invitation. And it's also who I am, of course, but you know, without all of the rest of that, it wouldn't be the company of Stationers and Newspaper Makers who was inviting me to be a liveryman. I'll be going to a ceremony on February 3rd and receiving my clothing, which is the dress that's official for official ceremonies like the Lord Mayor's parade and show. And also on the 28th of January, the City of London is giving me the freedom of the city, which to these days is honorary because there's no monopolies in for these companies. They are mostly charitably oriented and trade promoting oriented. But I will be receiving that on the 28th at the Guild Hall from the city, the corporation, I guess the Corporation of London. And I will be one of the very few Americans who actually has a right as a liveryman to vote for the Lord Mayor, even though I'm an American citizen.
Absolutely amazing. And thanks for giving us a little trickle-down love there. We appreciate it. But we just have a minute. Could you just tell us about what the pomp and circumstance is at Guildhall when you will be receiving the Freedom of the City?
So it is... these ceremonies that I'm going through are not really the pomp and circumstance. They are quiet ceremonies approved by the court where people that I've invited come, and I do have honorable guests who will be attending these ceremonies to witness and pay attention. Where the pomp and circumstance happens is at other events that happen later in the year in which, you know, which the roles that I have, you know, give me access and opportunity to attend and be in certain positions, you know, at those events and to invite guests.
Absolutely amazing. Karen Lyle, SailsportTalk.com. Always go there for all your sailing news. And she will be receiving the Freedom of the City of London on the 28th, and then about a week later be made a liveryman in the company of Stationers and Newspaper Makers, and will be awarded with a stationer's warrant for excellence. Karen Lyle, congratulations so much. As I said, we're all proud of you, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. We got royalty around here. Come on back.